Romans means. We got our word romance from Romans, don't we? This is God's romance with creation, with His creation. God's romance, His love story. The book of Romans is God's love story in for His creation and His humanity. Now, he's going to be a little rough on us here today, Paul is. Rough on all mankind and rough on the... Just rough. And the title of it, Some Animals. Some animals have better sense than human beings. Some animals have more morals than human beings. Some animals have more love than human beings for their offspring sometimes. I'm going to cripple along with this in Greek, see, and let this Greek run out of my ears. Maybe it'll run in your ears just a little bit. For the things unseen, of Him. For the unseen things of Him. Where did the creation come from? Where did all creation come from? Where did it come from? From God. Right out of Him. Isn't it? Everything that we see. Where did the dirt come from, Brother Roger? God. Where did the stars come from? God. Where did the angels come from? Where did man come from? All right. Now, man was not created from dirt, was he? He's created from the same elements that God created dirt. From the same elements. The word is man. Page 582, see? In Hebrew, Round Driver and Briggs. From the same elements. For the unseen things, the invisible things of Him. From the kataisios, from the creation. From the creation of the cosmos. What is the cosmos?
It means to set in order and go on forever.
It, what, the cosmos. The
definition of it is to set in order and go on forever. But it's not the world, but the everything.
The cosmos is all the creation. The whole sphere of it. All the creation. The creation. What's in that creation? Invisible. What's the invisible? We only say, it's only invisible to us. Because we don't see things, do we? How much of the universe do we see? How much? Less than 2% we see. So 98% we don't see, huh? So we can perceive 2% of what God has created. What can't we see? What are some of the things we cannot see, but they are there and tangible?
Angels and spirits.
All right? Angels and spirits. And forces that we don't even know about. How many dimensions are there?
Ten dimensions.
10 dimensions that have been discovered. There are 10 dimensions that have been discovered. Okay? We live in a three-dimensional world, basically. We can go forward and backwards and sideways and up and down. And then there's the dimension of gravity. And there's the dimension of time. And is time constant? No. All of these things that we think. You know, I just set the clocks this morning. We're here an hour early today. You know, I mean, it was wearing me out. I usually get up real early, but I have time to fool around. I study. I do all this kind of stuff real early in the morning. I get in there and do something to the website, writing sermons, whatever. This morning I had to get up, stagger around, and get ready to come here. That's time. Time, but time is not constant. If you were... traveling 186,000 miles per hour, that's speed now. Does time change? Yeah. Time is radical. It's just radical. The unseen things of Him from the creation of the world, the cosmos, the world system, the whole universe. Put down our universe. Universe. It says in Genesis 1:1, Barashith bara Elohim et ha-shamayim. The word Hashemayim is kind of related like this, Hashemayim. Hashemayim literally means what, Sharon?
Uplifting.
Up the waters, the uplifted waters. What's the root of that, Brother Roger? What's the root of that? Hashemayim. Mayim. What's on the front of it?
Ha.
A definite article, page 206. Okay? A definite article. And that definite article, then it says, the Hashemayim. And right here, the word Hashemayim means the uplifted waters. Here is the earth. Everything above the earth is Hashemayim. There. Now the earth was in a bubble at one time. There was solid oceans in the sky. This was oceans originally. And that's why we call the heavens were the Hashemayim. Okay, and how many heavens are there?
Three.
There's a Hashemayim here, the uplifted waters, where we see the clouds and the atmosphere. All right. And then we have where the stars are. And then we have the abode of God up here in the third heaven. But all of this is in the Hashemayim, or the cosmos. All of it. Out so far, yes.
Okay, the abode of God is the third heaven, but God is everywhere.
Yeah.
So why is that?
How does the third heaven encompass everything? That's a good question. Here's eternity. Who inhabits eternity, Joanne? Who inhabits eternity? You know who inhabits eternity? It says, the Bible says that he inhabits eternity. God inhabits eternity. He's sitting on here on his throne up here, okay? There's God's throne, and he's on that throne. And here's eternity. And we look down through here, and we see this whole graph. See all of this? This is the dispensational chart that talks about from Adam all the way to the new heavens and the earth, new earth. Now, God sitting in eternity, what does he see from eternity?
Everything.
All the time. He not only sees all of this, but he sees the whole circle of eternity. Back yonder in that eternity past and here in eternity future. All of that at once. So now God is what's that attribute we call of God when he sees everything and he knows everything? He's omniscient. Okay? And he's omnipresent. Okay? And he's omnipowerful or omnipotent. And that's how it is. See, God inhabits eternity. And there is I've been teaching kingdom studies classes. I did 41 of them so far. You got to be in one of them. Marilyn's been in most of them. Raymond, I think, was in one of them. Last night I did the end times of Islam's end times compared to the biblical end times, and we're in the apocalypse. That's something else. But I started all out in the beginning. We talked about the eternal, universal kingdom of God. It's that. Everything that happens down here in space and time, God oversees it with his unpreventable progress. He has a purpose going. And he allows people to rise and to fall and nations to rise and to fall. And every nation is minuscule in his sight. 200 or 300 year, 500,000 year empires. Now, there are many 1,000 year empires, people. That's minuscule. Minuscule. But all the people that rise and fall, God is able to just like allow things. This is what his permissive will. That's his permissive will. It's not his direct will, but his permissive will. And God just kind of makes things work and come out exactly. Who's going to be president? Who's going to be the next president of the United States?
Trump.
Exactly the one that God wants. He's got the one he wanted in there right now, whether we like it or not. He's there. He's for a purpose. And God is going to use it. If you don't believe so, just start studying these classes on the kingdom of God with me. If you don't believe it's working out. It's exactly the right thing for the right time.
Don't you think that he could give the people what they wanted instead of what he wanted?
Do what?
As far as the president. Could not he have given the people what they wanted instead of what he wanted?
He has some.
God is allowing this. This is what we call his permissive will. And in the end, it's going to be exactly the way he wants it. I don't care who's up there. You think you're going to get your man in there? First of all, you don't elect the president. You think you do. You just think you elect one. You don't elect presidents. They're going to put who they want in there, and they're not going to have anybody in there they don't want. Or they'll kill him on the other. Just look at history. You don't believe that. But America is this big compared to all the history of the world. It's nothing. Does God need America to protect Israel? Who protects Israel? Michael protects Israel. That's the prince over Israel. And you know what? That's the only prince on God's side is over these nations. Michael, and he's the most powerful prince of all, isn't he? He's the one they call the archangel. Let's go a little further. Not seeing of him the creation of the world, the whole world system, the cosmos, the universe, the things having been made. That word comes from poem there, doesn't it, Brother Roger? Having been made. Made to rhyme. What do you do with a poem? You make words rhyme. And that's what our word poem comes from, this word here. That he has the things having been made. And then it says being understood. Being understood. That comes from nous, Brother Roger. Remember what nous is? Nous. That's one of the words for mind in Greek. That means to perceive spiritually and understand spiritually. Having been understood spiritually, and then it says here that they are clearly seen. Completely seen. They are made to be clearly seen. Back in the 1800s, I read a book one time. I think it's called The Splendor of God. And it was written by a doctor. He was a physician back in the 1800s. And physicians back at that period of time, how were physicians? Did they have medical schools, by the way? No. How did you become a physician back then? What? You were apprenticed. You were apprenticed. And you went in there and you worked with other ones. There was a whole lot of physicians being trained during the Civil War, people. They were just practicing medicine. Practicing medicine. Practicing medicine. This doctor wrote a book on medical science. He said, I don't know how anybody could study the human body and not believe in God. Not believe in God. How could you study the human body and not believe in God? How could you study veterinary medicine and not believe in God? How could you study horticulture and not believe in God? How can you study even
science?
Even go out. You remember these people? You know, there's bug people that go to your houses. Bug people. They go to your houses. Bug people. What are they?
Entomologists.
Yeah, that's a bug. They're pest control. You know, can you study a cockroach and not believe in God? Huh? They're quiet. Marilyn. Your business is getting all the way over here. Being understood, being spiritually perceived, clearly seen, having been caused to be clearly seen, both the everlasting, that word there, if you want to put it in Hebrew, it's olam, Brother Roger. What's olam mean?
Eternity.
Olam. What does it really mean? Olam really mean. Tell us the idea of olam.
As far as you can see, and then it starts.
You go and see it. Go as far as you can understand, and that's where that begins. When you can't imagine anymore, that's where it begins. That says here, the everlasting, the always existing. It comes from A here. It's a little adverbial idea. It's nominally singular masculine, though. Like an adverb and adjective altogether. The everlasting attributes of him. Here we go to the word dynamis now. The word dynamis. Dynamis, what word do we get from dynamis, Brother Mike? Remember dynamis? How about Brother Roger?
Dynamite.
Dynamite. Thank you over there. You're paying attention now. Besides making so much racket. Dynamis. Dynamite. This is what we call his omnipotence, isn't it? His omnipotence. And then it says, et divinitas. Et divinitas. What in the world? That's Latin, isn't it? Et divinitas. Et divinitas. Is that anything in Spanish like that, Sister Andino? Et divinitas. Et dies. Dios. 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 The divinity. The quality of God. We see the quality of God. The Godhead divinity, the quality of God. And then we have the word ace there. That word ace, extension, limitation, the thought of verbal action. I know that's a big grammatical rule, which the seminaries don't even know today. Brother Ken Blinn went back there to Louisville, Kentucky, in the language department where he's taking Greek, and they put ace up on the board like that. Yep, I know what that means, extension, limitation, thought of verbal action. His teacher looked down and he said, what? We don't go that far, boy. But that's the idea of it. And here it travels through all eternity and everywhere. The attributes of God and His creation sounds out from eternity to eternity. All the angels know who created the world. Every spirit knows who created the world. Every grasshopper doesn't doubt there's a God. Nor a flea. Not even an amoeba. An enemy. That word clearly seen there, it's only used one time in the New Testament. Manifestavi. Conspicuator. In Latin. Conspicuous. What is it? Conspicuous. Conspicuous. It means easily seen. You can see it. Manifest. Manifestavi. It's manifest. Clearly seen in the light. For them to be apo-apologetos. Without an apology. Without an excuse. No excuse. They have no excuse. Inexcusable. Inexcusable. They can't talk themselves out of believing in God. Not in reality. If you study creation, if you're a scientist and you study creation, you got to convince yourself that there's evolution. Did you know that? You got to convince yourself that things evolved. Why? Mathematically, I wish Cindy was sitting right here. She sits right there where you do, Sister Andino, on Wednesday night. She's a scientist and a professor. She teaches what we call natural science and mathematics and everything. Mathematically, Sharon, can you prove evolution?
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. Mathematically, you cannot prove evolution. It's impossible. Mathematically, and mathematics is a science. Did you know that? Albert Einstein says he believed in God. Because he said, I believe there's a God, but he said, I believe in mathematics. But guess who created all this stuff? Mathematics. Mathematics is a science that declares God. Okay, 1 and 21. Because of this, having known by experience the God. Look at that. A child, Brother Bill. Brother Bill. A child naturally believes in God.
Yeah.
To not believe in God, you have to be educated away from Him.
Yeah.
I preached a sermon in 19... I preached a revival in 1970. Do you remember that revival I preached to the fools? The fools? And I preached on the different kind of fools in the Bible, every one of them. The atheist fool, I preached on, the atheist fool. And I think it's 1973 when I preached that sermon. that series of revivals. And I talk about the four kinds of fools. One of them was the atheist fool. And the Bible says, in the Hebrew, it says, the fool keeps on telling his heart. The fool keeps on telling his heart, no God, no God, no God, no God. You have to convince yourself there's no God. Because if you, naturally, you raise up, if you're out on some desert island and you don't know anything at all about anything, you are worshipful. You may not know how to worship God. You might be worshiping the sun or some tadpole, but you're worshiping something because that is in you. God puts it in every man that you want to desire to be with Him. Desire to be with Him. As I preach these kingdom studies classes, sometimes I cry through the class, don't I, Merrill? Because I am so desiring to be in that place right now. We see the descriptions of it. We see the description of heaven and all of that. And you just long to be there. Long to be there. I was out at that graveyard Friday. One of my best friends, I have a closest friend that I ever had in the world, died. And I looked there, and she died in 1990, and I had gone by there when her funeral was going on. And Brother Ray said, she's been with heaven, in heaven, in God's arms for 26 years. This May, the 22nd. 26 years, he said. She's got a good head start on us, doesn't she? And I said, boy, I think she knows more than we do. We're just floundering around down here. She's learning it from the Master. So many people are so afraid to die. People that don't believe in God are afraid to die. They are. I'm not, you know, you want to live. We try to live. We really try to live. But don't be afraid to die if you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, be afraid to die. You better fear death with everything you've got because you're going someplace where you don't want to be. And it's forever, Olam. Forever. When we know. Because having known to God, not as God, having known by experience, not as God. These are people that now have begun to worship things. Things. Worship things. What can you worship? What do people worship in the world?
Money.
What is it?
Money.
Money. That's America. That's America. Worship money. Yeah, they do. America worships money. We have a materialistic society. You know that America uses 70% of all the natural resources in the world? America uses 70% of all the natural resources in the world. In this society. That's something else. You know that? That's what you call materialistic. And then you go with them Buddhists. Buddhists don't want anything. They want to sit there and hopefully one of these days they will die and go into oblivion. They won't ever be reincarnated because they believe in reincarnation. They don't want anything. All of these Buddhist colonies around here, you see them around? They're all over Bakersfield. Out there just barely living. They don't want any money. They want anything. These Catholic priests, some of them will go into the priesthood and just give everything. You know Jerry Brown? Did you know that he was a Catholic priest?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Catholic priest. He went up there in San Francisco, and him and his friend went and joined the priesthood. And when they went out there, they saw these bums on the sidewalk, and they emptied their pockets and gave their coats to them and everything to those bums. They were getting ready to go surrender their lives. Every time he makes a speech, it's a sermon. Just listen to it. Just listen to what he's talking. Every time he makes a speech, it's a sermon.
Why did you leave? Why did you leave that?
I don't know. But he left it. A lot of priests leave the priesthood. A lot of Catholic priests. Because they see the fallacy of it when they get there. Yeah. Yeah. Because having known by experience of God, not as God, they glorified or gave praise. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, They did not honor. They did not praise Him as God. They did not praise Him as God. They did not give thanks to Him as God. But became morons. That's what it says, morons. It comes from Montaio. Montaio. We get a word manic out of this when you go temporarily insane, you know, manic episodes. Become a maniac. They became empty, idle, foolish morons. In the understandings of them, in their understandings, in their speculations, dialogismos, in their reasonings. A.T. Robertson said that darkness settled into their minds. I try to teach the deep things of God, because that's what holds you together. The deep things of God is what will keep you in God's work. That's what will keep you believing in God. It's not the foolishness. It's not the little surface thing. It's not evangelism. Great evangelists have left the work, haven't they? Why did that man that worked with Billy Graham, why did he leave the work and become an agnostic? Why did he do it? Because he never studied the deep things of God. He had no. He all he had was surface. Evangelism is wonderful, people. But evangelism is only the beginning. The deep things of God, the foundation stones of God's Word, is what keeps you in the Bible. What keeps you to God. It's what holds you there. It's not evangelism. It's only the beginning. And our schools today, our seminaries, are evangelist-oriented, and they don't teach languages. They don't teach the deep things of God. You don't even find it. You can't take those courses. That's why I'm trying to do that, to build people up, to hold them in the Word. That's what you do. Teach these things, Paul said. They did not honor God or give thanks to God or worship Him, but they became morons in their speculations. Morons, and was darkened. This the word is scotio so fallen, as the book of James calls it and the book of Jude calls it. Scotio foson. What is that? That's the world of darkness. That's the bottomless pit type of darkness. People pull the wool over their eyes and completely put on the blinds so they cannot see. The Word of God is the most magnificent tool. It is the most beautiful books, library of books that's ever been written in the history of humankind, because it's written by the finger of God. You can never reach the ends of the study of the Word of God. When you get over there, and I try to get you to walk into a room every now and then. I want you to walk into a room you've never been in before, and the room is dark in the beginning, isn't it? And then you pull a switch, and some of the lights turn on. Like you turn a switch on here, some of them go on, then you turn another switch on. I think there's four switches in here for the lights. And as you walk into that room, you just flip one switch on at a time, and there's a time element in learning, and you flip these switches on, and finally, you can find another door over there. Where you didn't think there was a door before, where you never knew there was a door before. And then you go darkly over there to that door, and you open it in another dark room, and you begin to flip the switches on in that room. That's the way of studying Word of God is. If you really want to study God's Word, you do that. There's a time element in learning. Brother Ray, I talked to him for an hour and a half yesterday, Ray Hernandez. He's been studying that book, The Kingdom of God, for 30 years. He said, I never understood it at all, but he said, let me ask you. He said, am I right? Now have I got it right? I've been studying, and you're making it plain. He said, you read it, and you make it plain. He said, is the whole kingdom of God, is that the whole avenue that God's over everything in this whole universe? And Satan is the god of this little age right here in this little compartmental place? I said, yeah. And yet God, Satan is there, and he's the god of this age, but as God is only permitting him to do what he is, and God is really seeing to it that he, all the emperors and all the rulers in the world, in the end, that they're going to lead all those nations exactly what's going to happen over here? Why did God allow Satan to destroy the earth? Genesis 1 and 2.
To bring Israel back.
To bring Israel back to the land. Was Israel in existence? No. No human man was ever in existence in the world yet, was he? Why did God? It says, Barashith bara Elohim eth hashamayim v'eth haaretz. In one of the beginnings, God had created and finished the heavens and the earth. It was a finished cosmetic product. It was finished.
I'll make a guess.
Yes.
I'll just make a guess. But so there's a prior destruction of the earth to show that there's going to be another destruction of the earth. I don't know.
Okay, let's go on. That's one of the things. But he created what was on this earth scientifically. We have evidence what was here. What was here? Dinosaur, plant life, animals of all sorts, they were on this earth. God created those things in the very beginning. What did he create them for?
Fossil fuel.
Gasoline. What is the problem over the world today? We don't even need it, but what's the problem? Oil. Oil is the greatest magnet of human greed that's ever been. The coal mining industry. The oil companies. All of this. One of the greatest Baptists, richest Baptists that ever lived. What was his name? John D. Rockefeller. Ungodly buzzard. A powerful man that controlled and killed, and he made fortunes on people's lives and deaths. And he was a Baptist. Boy. Old Carnegie. What was Carnegie? Huh?
Steel?
Carnegie. Yeah, he was in steel.
What
steel. Belief? Yeah. What was he?
What belief, I said.
Presbyterian. I tell you what, that Presbyterian was a lot better man than that Baptist. He got a bad conscience. He was killing people, man. They killed people. They destroyed people's lives by the hundreds of thousands. Manipulation, pulling strings. Remember that movie, The Godfather? Godfather with that guy with the puppets up there, and the old Marlon Brando, he sat in there, he said, I would not be manipulated like all the rest. I would not bow down to others. They did like the Godfather, pulling strings and puppets. J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, Carnegie. These are some of the railroad magnates. All these people controlled America. They controlled the world, too. They controlled the world. They were controlling all this. And old Carnegie got a bad conscience, and he sold everything he had. Sold it all out. And what did he start begin to do? Give his money away. That's blood money. He started all these libraries. He started hospitals. He started all kinds of stuff. And old Rockefeller says, I'm going to let him outdo me. I'll do more than he did. I'll give more money away than he did. Pride. Pride, pride, pride. Let's go on. Pride, pride, pride. Futile in their expectations and their foolish heart was darkened. Darkness settled down upon their hearts. Darkness. Why? Because they refused to see God for who He was. Now, God allowed old Satan to destroy this earth, so we have all this fossil fuel today. And so they'd be fighting over it, and they're going to go right back to the Middle East, aren't they? Where there's so much of it, and they want control of all this uranium and fossil fuel and all that. And God allowed that to happen, didn't He? Because in the end, maybe millions of years later or thousands of years later, however long, I don't know what it was. But God could see in the future, couldn't He? Did God allow it? He allowed it. Was it His direct will? Absolutely not. Genesis 1 and 2. It says, and the earth she had become formless and void. And there was darkness over the faces of the deep, the home. Then it says, Spirit God, Ruah Elohim, Meripacheth, El Pamei Hamayim. And Spirit God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the, and he began to pull it back together in order again. And therefore we have God causing the light to shine again and all of this. And all he allowed that soul, his eternal purpose, his unpreventable progress could be brought and carried out. All right. 122. Professing, speaking out openly, preaching, admonishing, saying, politicking. That's all in this word right here. To be sophoi. Sophoi means real wise. Real wise. They became morons. Village idiots. Morons. When I was in Damascus, Syria, I was over there for 9 days. Boy, talk about the most backward place in the human world. Those are backward people, I'm telling you. Backward people. Tremendously backward. You can go down to Tijuana and the worst places in Mexico and Juarez or anything like that, it doesn't come close. That's the most backward people in the world over there. Right now, what are they doing? We're taking all these Syrians in. They're going to change our world, people. I walked down the streets of Syria for 9 days and saw this filth and stench. I saw three men hanging by the neck up there, rotting in front of the courthouse. Their bodies still hanging there. When they take them, they throw them in the dump. They didn't bury those people. And I kept seeing this one guy, and he was a village idiot. He was a moron. He had some mental handicap, but they were making fun of him. And they take out a few coins, and they throw it on the ground like this. I saw this day after day after day. And if you come on, I didn't understand Arabic, but he'd get those coins up and put them in his pocket, and then he'd back off and ram his head into a street sign. Bam! And that sign would just rock. And they'd laugh, and they'd laugh, and he'd back off, and somebody'd throw down some more coins, and he'd ram his head into that thing again. Over and over again, like some billy goat or something. They thought that was funny. He was destroying himself. You know that he wasn't helping himself one bit, you know that? Whatever brains he had, he was scrambling the rest of them and bruising them. Maybe concussions, whatever, I don't know. He was bald-headed, and I mean there were bruises all over his head where he had been doing this for long. I saw him do it 9 days. Every day, giving him coins, him bashing his head against these street signs. The street sign would just rock. And they'd let this laugh and laugh. You know, that's stupid, isn't it? That's really stupid. That's detrimental to your health, isn't it? It says, asserting themselves to become wise, they became village idiots like that guy. These people that won't worship God and try to make excuse why they don't worship God are village idiots. They can be educated into it. Somebody's got to tell them over and over and over and over again that this didn't happen. They can believe in evolution. And evolution is the greatest leap of faith that you could possibly ever have. You've got to have more faith to believe in evolution than anything. Jeremiah 10:14 and 1 Corinthians 1:20 are cross references to this. I don't care how separated a person is from society, he will believe in God until he's taught that there is no God. 1:23. Yes.
Do you think that's why the government is trying to get more control over the Christian people so that they can force the Christian people to accept those people in the United States to bring those type of people in and take over our country? And
last night, I taught on the apocalypse. And I talk about what's going to happen. Brother Roger, what do you think is going to happen in the end times? Now that we look. Who do you think is going to be the Antichrist, and who do you think is going to be this one world government?
I think Islam is going to be at the
center of that. I think Islam is going to be at the center of it.
Thank you.
I think Islam is going to be at the center of it.
The
you take the Bible. What? Islam.
Islam,
I believe, is going to be. Absolutely believe Islam is going to be in. Is it working?
Yeah.
Do we have the right guy in there right now to get it there?
What?
Okay. We're going to have the next one in there? Yep. It's going to happen. But let's look at it like this. And I've told you this a little bit before. In Islam, they have eschatology. What's eschatology? Eschatology, Brother Bill, what is it? Eschatology.
Study of religion.
What?
The end times.
Islam has an eschatology. ISIS. What's ISIS stand for? What's it stand for? Iranian. What is it? Syrian. Okay. They're talking about the Iran and Syrian army. And what are they doing? They believe in the Islamic end times, and they're trying to bring in the end of the world, according to Islam. The 12th Iman, you ever heard of that? The 12th Iman? Sharon, Joanne, you heard of the 12th Iman? How about the Ahmadi? The Iman Ahmadi? They're looking for him. They're looking for him right now.
Yeah.
The Iman Mahdi. The Mahdi. The one that's led. The Mahdi, they say, is going to be 40 years old. He's going to be a direct descendant of Muhammad. And in him is going to be reincarnated the very spirit. He's going to be the incarnation of Muhammad. He's going to be a very shy person. He is going to be a reluctant leader. He's going to come out of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arabian deserts. And they're going to call him, and they're going to swear allegiance to him when he's 40 years old, and they're going to make him begin this civil war like we're having over there today. This is Islam. I'm telling you what they say. He's going to rule for how many years? 7 years. This is their words. This is not what I'm saying. This is what they say, okay? And during that period of time, there is going to become a beast, a weird-looking beast. This weird-looking beast, what's he going to look like? Going to be big, isn't he? Going to be a big beast. He's going to come out of Arabia. He's going to have the head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, the eyes of a pig, the neck of an ostrich, the legs of a camel, the body and the haunches of a cat, and the body of a lion, and the color of a leopard, and the tail of a ram, and the feet like a camel, and the joints are going to be 20 feet apart. The Bible says that the Antichrist is going to come forth, isn't he? He's going to come on a white horse, isn't he? He's going to say, peace, 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 peace. He is going to make an allegiance with Israel, and Israel is going to build a temple in Jerusalem. And what's the Mahdi going to do, Brother Roger? They're going to bring the Kaaba stone out of Mecca, and they're going to move it to Israel, Jerusalem. And they're going to set up, and Israel is wanting, on someplace up there, and all of that stuff, Israel's plans for building this temple. And this temple is going to be a what? A temple for all religions.
And Israel is going to allow that?
Yeah. This temple is going to be it's going to be right there in Jerusalem. They're going to have this temple. And it's going to be, this is their, so I'm telling you what Israel says. We had it up there for long. You can make donations to that temple. Did you know that? And I said, I don't want to fool with that because that's the Antichrist temple. They're going to get in there. And right in the middle of this period of time, this beast is going to come forth out of Arabia. Now the Bible says that what? That there's a beast in the book of Revelation, isn't it? And the beast is over these nations, okay? And if you study every one of those nations, Gog and Magog and all of these nations, Tubal, Meshach, all of this, you're going to find out that those are Arabic nations. That's not Russia. That's Arab. That's Turkey. That's Armenia. All these nations are there. Now, These nations shall all line up, all these kings, all these horns. This red dragon shall be over them. Okay? And according to Islam, the Bible says there's going to be an Antichrist, and the Bible says there's going to be a beast. What's the beast in the book of Revelation going to do, Brother Bill? What's the beast in the book of Revelation going to do? The beast in the book of Revelation. How about it, Sharon? You know what the beast in the book of Revelation is going to do?
He's going to destroy the people.
No. What's he going to do? The beast. The body is going to declare war on everybody. He's going to start killing everybody and bringing peace to the world by making all of them Islam. Islam means submission. He will make the world to submit. But what's the beast in the book of Revelation going to do, Sister Angino?
Isn't it to try to control?
The beast is going to do what?
He's
going to mark. Thank you very much. You got an A+. He's going to mark everybody. The beast in the book of Revelation, he's going to mark everybody. He's going to mark them with the number of 666. Isn't he? Okay? What is the beast in Islam going to do? Now, the beast in Revelation is going to mark everybody with the name of the Antichrist, or the code, or the confession of faith of the Antichrist. And it's a man-made religion. Man, 666, okay? What is the Mahdi going, what's the Mahdi going to have the beast do? He's going to make all the faces of the non-believers black. And he's going to mark on the foreheads and the arms of all those true Islamic people the name of Allah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And then we have the Bible. We have Jesus of the Bible. What's Jesus going to come back here and do, Brother Bill? Right there.
He's going to come back and separate us.
He's going to come back and he's going to rapture God's people. He's going to take them up. And then tribulation comes upon the earth. And that's when all this is taking place now. He's going to rapture these people. And what's Jesus going to do back out here in the middle of the week? When this Antichrist is going to be come and he's going to declare himself God in the temple in Jerusalem, what's he going to do? What's Jesus going to do? When that Antichrist goes after Israel and God says to Israel, flee and go to the desert.
Start the judgments.
He's going to use the earth, natural earthquakes and storms and floods to kill the Antichrist army. All the way over to here. All the way to the end. And now people are going to be dying for Jesus all during this time because they're going to be believers. Now, I don't believe in the midweek rapture. Do you, Sister Andino? You don't believe in the midweek rapture. And I don't believe in the post-tribulation rapture or the end of the weekers. I don't believe that at all. First of all, it don't make sense. The middle of the week makes a whole lot more sense if you're raptured right here, because over here in the millennium, who's going to inhabit millennium? Who's going to inhabit millennium? Brother Bill, you know who's going to inhabit the millennium?
The Israel, 144,000.
Well, Israel, but who else?
The church.
Huh?
The church.
Not the church. Church up in heaven. There are people that are physically going to go into the middle in the millennium in their physical bodies. If you rapture everybody here that are believers, who's going to go there? Udamia, nobody. There ain't going to be anybody. If you rapture them here, you've got people going to die from here to here, and some of them could go in, so that's more reasonable, but I don't believe it. But during through here, you've got people that are going to be killed as believers. And what are the nations? You know, you've got the separation. The fisherman goes out, and he catches a good fish and a bad fish. What's he do with the bad fish, Brother Bill? Throws them back. When he goes out, when the farmer goes out, and he gathers the tares out of the field and the wheat, what's he do with the tares? Throws them in the fire. When he goes out there, what's the other parable? The tares and the wheat and the good fish. And how about the sheep and the goats? What's he going to do? He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. At the end of this period of time, those that don't believe get to go to hell, because they're not going to go in the millennial reign. But all of these believers, and they're going to be judged how they treated Israel, the Gentiles, and Israel, where they believe in God. If there's some Israelis alive there that don't believe in Jesus, they get to be in File 13 too. Only those that believe are going to go into the millennium and work with the Lord for 1,000 years. Is that good? Did that straighten this little mess out just a little bit, what's going to go into the millennium? Sister Andino, did you get something out of that?
So the churches that are going to be in the millennium,
No. Church isn't going to be up here with Jesus overlooking the earth in New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Terra firma, epites geis, upon this world that we live in today, Israel, at least 144,000 Jews, and all of those Gentiles that believed get to go into the millennium. There are no unbelievers on the earth at that time. Not only that, but look what happens here. Revelation 27-9. The devil and all of his cohorts are put in the bottomless pit and locked up. And so there's no demonic or devilish satanic influence on the earth at all for that 1,000 years.
So at the end of the millennium, then the Lord comes back with the church?
Then the Lord turns the devil loose. What's the reason for the millennium? What's the reason for the millennium? What did Eve say in the Garden of Eden when she sinned? The devil made me do it. All during this time, people, there's going to know there's God. There's not going to be an atheist in the universe. Not an atheist in the universe. But God is going to let old Satan go out, and these people are going to believe in him, Revelation, the 20th chapter says, and they're going to be deceived. And it specifically names Gog and Magog, doesn't it? Who is Gog and Magog? Where is it? Not in Russia. That's Turkey. These are the Islamic holdouts. Again. And he will kill all of them. Wipe them out. They'll go into the bottom of the pit. You know who gets to go in the bottom in the lake of fire first? Who gets to go to the lake of fire first? Who's the first one in the lake of fire? Huh? The beast. No, not Satan doesn't get to go there first. The beast and the false prophet. Maybe the beast of the Quran, and maybe the Mahdi gets to go to the lake of fire first. Okay?
You don't call the Christians in the tribulation period the church after the rapture?
No, there is no church. No church. The church and the family of God, the kingdom of God, all those are saved to get raptured here. And then all during this time, I think after the rapture, the largest revival ever going to take place on the earth. It says thousands of people are going to be saved. Numbers, millennium. I mean, lots, thousands of people are going to be saved, okay? During that period of time, thousands of people are going to be saved. Right here. Well, what's going to happen to them? Who's going to be in control? How are they going to die? What's the form of execution of these people?
Beheading.
Beheading.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
Book of Revelation. Go study those kingdom classes. Just follow right along there. Follow right along. They will be beheaded, for they were beheaded for the cause of Christ. They believe in Jesus now. Too late. It's like in the days of Moah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Moah? Bill, was there believers on the outside of that ark?
Yeah.
Yeah, they believed on the outside ark. It rained. They were scratching and clawing. Could they get in the ark?
No.
Peter says that Jesus preached to those disobedient souls in the days of Noah. They got to see the Jesus they rejected, but they believed in. When he went down to Sheol, Hades. During that whole tribulation period, people are going to believe. They're going to die. A lot of them. How many people on the earth are going to die? How much of the earth is going to be depopulated? Here we jumped over here, but we had questions. Does this help you? Nadine? Okay. How many people are going to die on the earth? 5 out of 6 people are going to die on the earth. 5 out of 6.
Gentiles.
That's Gentiles. Thank you, brother Mike.
Two-thirds
of the Jews. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to... But there's going to be people here. And out of these, there's going to be sheep and goats. And there's going to be bad fish and good fish. There's going to be tares and wheat. Out of those that make it to the end. But only those that do believe, they'll be separated. The tares, the bad fish, the goats will be thrown into the fire. Do you understand that now? They're thrown into the fire. That's when that separation takes place, and only the believers go into the millennium. Israel will be the leaders, the administrators of God's kingdom again for the Lord for that 1,000 years. They will be administrators of his kingdom. Now, let me tell you this little secret. Who's going to be on the throne at that time? What's the Old Testament? We're going to study some of these Old Testament scriptures tonight. Jesus. Who's going to be on the throne on the earth? Epitase Gaze. Terrifying. Who? No, this is a millennium, Brother Bill. Who's going to be throne? Who's going to be on the throne of Israel? Who's going to be the prince? David. David's going to be resurrected. That's what many, I'm talking about the major theologians believe that David is going to be resurrected, and he's going to be down there in his resurrected body telling them how it's all done. Abraham's going to be there. Many people believe that Israel won't be resurrected until this period of time right here, all Israel. And then they get to go down on the earth and do what they were supposed to do. Those that are saved, they'll get to do what they're supposed to do. Isn't that beautiful? It's good to look, something to look forward to, isn't it? Of course, who is going to be on the throne in heaven in that glassy, in that beautiful rainbow throne? Jesus, our Savior, our Jehovah, the one who saves us. Is that all? That's, you got it? Any questions before I turn you loose on the word? Is it muddy? Is it real muddy? It is, yes, Bill.
I'd just like to clarify, Jim. I read where on the internet where Jerry Brown was priest and what he did to give the guys the money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then he became a Democrat, took it back, took the shoes in the church.
Well, Reagan, when he was poor, was a Democrat, wasn't he? When he got rich, he became a Republican, though. Well, is that what happened to him? All right. Brother